I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. There were 311 women prisoners at the South Boise Women's Correctional Center on the day we visited in August. It's a minimum security facility. And we wanted to find out more about a women's prison and about the woman who runs it. On a windy day outside the prison, Noelle Barlow-Hust opened up about why she became warden and why women are different from men when it comes to being behind bars. How long have you been with the facility, Noelle?
I have been the warden at this facility since 2014.
What's your background? Where did you come from before that?
Well, I've been in corrections for 17 years, and I have worked with men most of that time. I've spent the last, you know, obviously the last 4 years working with women, which, you know, I wasn't sure about. But it's a population that I've learned to love. And, you know, I'm really excited and excited about the things that they're able to accomplish. And you know, I just really have grown to love this population a lot.
Were you in Idaho for the majority of your career, or are you new?
Yes. In fact, I've worked at 5 out of 9 facilities in the state of Idaho. So I've kind of worked every custody level, both genders, and I've worked up north and down here in the South Boise complex. So
what have you learned in the 4 years? You know, because it's interesting that you said, you know, you weren't sure about taking on a female prison population.
Well, I learned that having raised a teenage daughter definitely gave me skills that I didn't have before. So I have a lot more patience. I have a lot more, I think this was just perfect timing for me at this point in my life to come out after I had, you know, and work with women after having raised a daughter. And it just, I think all the skills that I learned from taking care of my daughter kind of helped me become, you know, this kinder, gentler, caring and patient person that, you know, you kind of have to be to work with the female population.
What do you think is different about a female population versus a male population?
With men, you don't see the wheels turning. You know, you don't know if they're sincere because they're not very emotional and they don't demonstrate that emotion very often if they do. And with women, you can see right away whether or not you've made an impact. Things I think are more personal with working with women because they really need to feel cared about, and they get their feelings hurt, and you know, and they show that emotion, and so you kind of know and see if you've made an impact or a change based off of their reaction and how they do after that. So you can kind of know whether or not what you do matters, and I think that's that's what the most important piece I've learned is that I can tell that what we do here matters.
No, that's huge.
I then sat down with Warden Noelle Barlow-Hust inside the South Boise Women's Correctional Center, and we continued our conversation about what it's like to run the prison.
And so you said you spent 17 years in the correction system, but all here in Idaho.
Yes.
So what made you decide to make the move to this facility 4 years ago?
Well, it was open. So I applied, and I was, you know, I didn't know that being a warden was going to be possible for me, quite frankly, and I just kind of threw my name in on a whim, and, you know, when I was offered the position, I had to say, are you kidding? So it just kind of fell into place and happened.
And walk me through kind of a typical day. We've talked with some of the women here. I mean, there's education, things mm-hmm. like that that they're required to be doing, correct?
Yes, we have, generally when someone comes to prison, we do a battery of assessments and tests to determine what they need to be doing or focusing on while they're here. Education is one. We really try to impress upon people the importance of getting that GED. Some people have struggled. A lot of the population didn't finish high school, or if they did, they struggled with learning disabilities and had challenges that caused them to drop out at some point. And so we start them off at the level that they're at, and we work them up and get them ready to test. And I think we've increased our GEDs. Initially, when I first got here, we were getting maybe 19 a year, and we hit 19 within a couple of months of this year. So I think right now we're in the upper 30s and for completions.
Are most of the inmates here, are they usually drug-related for the most part? Is that what you see coming through your facility?
Yes.
In your time in the prison system, there seems to be something coming out about women and drugs, and the fact that we just seem to see this over and over with women. And does a lot of it, in your opinion, have to do with things like not having other ways to move through their life? And what I mean by that is, like you said, they come here, they don't have a high school education, mm-hmm. so they're getting a GED. They're trying to, you know, live a life, but, you know, then drugs take hold.
The majority of the women here have not had good homes. The majority come from low socioeconomic status. They've lived in poverty. Their family members were involved or in and out of prison over that period of time. And they just didn't learn what normal was, because that was their normal. And so, you know, when they come here, we're trying to teach them a new normal. You know, and some of that is even the most menial or smallest skills that we assume that most people have. And that's the ability, you know, personal hygiene, you know, how to do your, you know, how often you do your laundry, you know, even those simple tasks that we think that everybody just knows how to do, they don't know how to do some of those things. And so there's just a lot of different parts and pieces that will contribute to someone coming to prison. Another part of that is that the population for women has increased over 700% since the 1980s. So when you look at the incarceration rates for women, they've gone up significantly over time, and a lot of that has to do with changes in drug laws.
It seems like a lot of times there are just mistakes. There, like these women just make a mistake. Mm-hmm. But because of our laws, they go to prison. And sometimes what they need maybe is intervention before prison. Would you say that's true, or is that just kind of a myth that we hear?
Well, I think that when, you know, if we have somebody that's arrested, you know, and they're charged with a drug crime, that the first step would be to get that person in treatment, you know, involved in drug court, where they are, you know, living at home and able to maintain their employment, keep their families intact, and participate in a drug program out in the community. And then, you know, there's different layers to that, like an onion, where, you know, if that doesn't work, then we go to the writer, and then, you know, we try to give more tools, except for now we take away their freedom. And we put them in a controlled environment where we're teaching them these skills, and they have to learn them before they leave. And then they go out on probation or parole. And so, you know, there's lots of things that we should be looking at before we look at an incarceration as an option. Even after somebody's been in prison and they're released from prison, you know, there should be different alternatives looked at before we send them right back to prison, because they're not going to be perfect when they leave. We try to do the best we can, but they're going to make mistakes. And, you know, if I learned how to tie my shoes the same way every day for 30 years, and then one day someone said, I'm going to teach you a way to tie your shoes where they're never going to come untied, and you're never going to have any issue with them coming loose or tearing or anything like that, the next morning I would learn that. I would learn how to do that. But then the next morning, the first thing I'm going to do when I wake up is tie the shoes the way I've always tied my shoes. And so it takes practice. It takes, you know, putting those skills to the test. And, you know, they're not going to be perfect right when they get out the door. And I think sometimes we expect perfection, And we need to be happy with progress and work towards perfection.
Noelle Barlow-Huss says she'd love to have a vocational educational program to teach on-the-job skills so that the women would have employment opportunities when they get out of prison. And we wanted to add this note to our visit. All the women we talked to, even the women we did not include in today's program, were in prison for drug-related offenses. Up next, we find out about prisoners and sagebrush. I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters.